WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It may be close, but President Trump's nominee to head the FBI, Kash Patel, is expected to be confirmed in the Senate today. CBS's Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill.
If the procedural vote was any indication, certainly this will be a very tight vote.
Jason Brooks reports more government workers are bracing for pink slips.
The Internal Revenue Service is getting hit with massive cuts right in the middle of tax filing season, with more than 6,000 employees expected to be terminated as part of the current wave of job cuts.
Hamas turned over four black caskets containing the remains of four Israeli hostages today. They're believed to be a mother and her two young sons and an 84-year-old, all abducted on October 7, 2023. CBS's Deborah Patup from East Jerusalem.
Israel has not officially confirmed their deaths and says it may take as long as 48 hours to identify them.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Both candidates for the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court election say they will not pledge to recuse themselves from cases involving the political parties backing their campaigns. Both state parties have donated millions to their preferred candidate in what will likely be the most expensive Supreme Court campaign in history. Supreme Court candidates are not required by law to recuse themselves from cases involving a political party, and the decision to recuse is typically left up to the justices. Both claim they will not prejudge cases. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in this year's Wisconsin Conservation Congress annual spring hearing process. The hearing process gives residents the opportunity to make suggestions to state officials by introducing a local resolution. Residents will be allowed to submit two resolutions per year, and they must be of statewide impact, be practical and achievable, and align with the mission of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress. Submissions will be accepted through February 24th. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Sam Davey Elementary School in Eau Claire on Wednesday to highlight his call for increased education spending in his budget address. During his State of the State address, Governor Evers declared 2025 as the year of the kid. In the budget address on Tuesday, he called for billions of dollars for education funding over the next 2 years. During the visit, Governor Evers also referenced the record-breaking number of districts that have needed to propose operational referendums recently, including Eau Claire. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for community input on the City of Chautauqua's application for Safe Drinking Water Loan Program funding. According to a press release, the proposed project would involve the relocation of a water main to Cleve Street. Safe Drinking Water Loan Program officials say the project is not expected to have any significant adverse environmental effects and does not require an environmental review or analysis. Public input on the project can be submitted online and comments will be accepted until March 5th. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are back from the All-Star break tonight when they host the LA Clippers at Fiserv Forum. Giannis Antetokounmpo listed as questionable after missing the last six games with a calf muscle injury.
I'm okay. Am I 100%? I don't know. We'll see. But I was able to go through practice. It felt good. But we'll see. We'll see tomorrow if I'm 100%. I don't know yet.
Damian Lillard, also questionable. Doc Rivers after yesterday's practice.
We went hard, but not that hard. And so we'll see with him and Dame. We don't know yet.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers head coach Luke Fickell receiving a one-year extension on his contract with the university. Fickell's deal now runs through March of 2032. He'll earn an extra $100,000, bringing his total to $7.7 million this year. The Badgers were 5-7 last season and missed playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction, raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. The coldest air of the week finally behind us. Still chilly today, mostly sunny with a high of 17. Wind chills as low as 20 below, especially early. Mostly clear tonight, a low near 5 below. Sunny skies on Friday with a high near 20. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects. from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Norm Kapinski from Appleton Cigar joins the show and makes a popcorn pick of the week. And then president of the Fox Valley Veterans Council, Tim Cody, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And boy, if you don't know it, you are in for a treat. On the line, my good friend and professor of, let me do this, Professor Harvey, because I always forget that you are without question a top tier historian, and so African history, American history. What are some of the other disciplines, Professor Harvey, that you are trained in?
Well, basically, it's American history and African American history. Those are the two major areas of historiography that I've been trained in, and I've taught for years. So those are the two major areas.
So,
but I've, you know, spent a lot of time in studying military history, especially focusing on World War II, from World War II up to the present, and political history. And I've, you know, spent a lot of time studying and teaching constitutional history. So those are the areas.
The different universities you've taught in.
Well, I started off teaching at North Carolina Central University, a historical black college in Durham. That's my alma mater, where I got both my bachelor's and master's degree in American historiography from North Carolina Central. And I taught there for seven years. And then I left there and got invited to go up to UW La Crosse and teach in the Minority Studies Institute for 2 years, and then I left there and engaged in the postgraduate program at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and I studied there for 2 years, focusing on American history, and then I got moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I joined the Army Reserves, and I was there for 12 years. But I also taught at UW-Milwaukee Department of Africology as a part-timer for 4 years. And then I got accepted to teach at Milwaukee Area Technical College in the history department. And I taught there for 9 years full time. So, and that's where I retired in 2013.
So, Professor Harvey, needless to say, you know your way around the history book. Let me, because it's Black History Month in this country, and I have over the years had you talk to the audiences that I've been fortunate to have been in front of over these airwaves. You know, I just, you know, gotta have Professor Harvey. Professor Harvey, want to kind of focus today on, you know, the truth of Blacks arriving in this nation. And so, you know, America's history of slavery began long before Jamestown. The arrival of the first captives to the Jamestown colony in 1619 is often seen as the beginning of slavery in America. But enslaved Africans arrived in North America as early as the 1500s. Professor Harvey, how can people get it so wrong?
Well, it's not so much so wrong as it is a sense of history that's been created around Anglican history, that is English history. And, you know, the perception that we have in this country, not that it's a fact, but the perception that we have in this country is that it all started with, you know, the English colonies. But you got to realize that in what is present day, the United States of America, we're talking there about geographic United States of America. The first European country to settle in North America, what is present in the United States, was not England, it was Spain. And we must also realize that when you read the historical works of someone like Lerone Bennett, who wrote Before the Mayflower, what he was saying in the title of his book is that long before the Mayflower, long before 1619 or 1620, 1622, long before that, in the latter part of the 16th century or the middle part of the 16th century, Europeans brought slaves over under control of the Spanish. You see, the Spanish were the first ones to settle North America. The English and the French and the Dutch and other European ethnic groups and nationalities, they come later. But it's the Portuguese in the latter part of the 15th century, which are the 1400s, and Spanish, they are the ones who bring slaves over first. And with the help of the conquistadors and with the help of the Catholic Church, in the late 15th century, which are the 1400s, and in the late middle part of the 16th century, which are the 1500s, they started establishing colonies over here, and it's the Spanish that settled in North America first, in the southern part, exploring as far west as what is present-day Arizona. So, but see, because our history is largely Anglican-orientated, we leave that part out. And we are missing a major part of history when we do that. Because the whole issue of claiming your European heritage, if you have African blood in you, and it states pretty much the laws that are accepted even today, is that if you have any African blood in you at all, and it can be traced, you can't claim your European heritage. That did not come from the English, or the Irish, or the Scots, or the Germans, or the French, or the Dutch. That came from the Spanish culture. That's where you get the word mulatto and all these other concepts, asturón, all these other color stratifications. That started with the Spanish and with the Portuguese And remember something, and this is something that a lot of people forget. Even George Bush had to be reminded of when he was president, and Condoleezza Rice fortunately was in the room and had to correct it, that the largest concentration of black folk in the Western Hemisphere, the largest concentration is in Brazil, not in the United States. The United States has about 40 million. That includes Africans, people from directly from the continent, and the African Americans, the people who were descendants of slaves over the last 300 to 400 years. So, but the largest population of black folk are in Brazil, of Afrocentric origin. So that is a part of history that's oftentimes overlooked and lost. And unless you actually take African American history, you miss that point. And that's one of the reasons why in my years of teaching African American history, the wide-eyed enthusiasm of students of all colors and all races is excited tenfold when they learn that fact.
So Professor Harvey, why is that fact relevant?
It's relevant because it says that in building the North, the Northern, and the Southern parts of the Western Hemisphere, which is North America and South America, African people played a significant role in helping to colonize and develop these regions long before we came over as indentured servants. Remember, some of the first Afrocentric people to arrive in the English colonies, they were listed as indentured servants. It's only after 1660 that we began to see the separation of white indentured servants, you know, along with, you know, black indentured servants. You see that separation, and blacks start becoming slaves for life.
So, Professor Harvey, what's the difference between an indentured servant and a slave?
Indentured servants were those who had contracts, you know, to serve for a period of up to 7 years. Sometimes it was a little longer, but the average time period was 7 years. And then after that 7 years, they would work, you know, as property, but then they would get their freedom. And what you started seeing in the colonies was that that created a problem, because sometimes when you had a rebellion, you had both blacks and white indentured servants rebelling together. But by 1660, it was discovered that it would be better to just go with the Africans to make them slaves for life, durante vita, slaves for life, for the duration. And one of the reasons why is because the African indentured servant did not have a nation to protect them.
So, Professor Harvey, I got to get you to hang on. Man, you know, the depth of your knowledge and the way you explained it is so easy for us to understand, because I got a million questions. Our phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. Look, on the line, just one of the you know, top historians that I've ever met in my lifetime, my good friend, Professor Bob Harvey, and you. 855-752-4842. We're going to drill down deeper on the Earl Ingram Show.
The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A federal judge sentenced former New Jersey U.S. Senator Bob Menendez January 29th to 11 years in prison for corruption charges and acting as a foreign agent. Menendez, a Democrat, was contrite in the courtroom but blasted the process as political and corrupted to the core in a not-so-subtle appeal to President Donald Trump. Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. In exchange for cash, a Mercedes convertible, and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. But times have changed. February 11th, the U.S. Justice Department ordered the Southern District of New York to drop bribery and corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. He was accused of taking illegal campaign donations from foreign nationals and doing favors in exchange for luxury travel. The apparent quid pro quo with the Trump administration prompted six SDNY attorneys to resign in protest. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. My guest is the brilliant Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, Professor Harvey, I remember distinctly hearing Dr. King talking about the fact that we were here long before Europeans set foot on this land. We were here. But I was never able to make the connection how and why and how we got here. But clearly,
well,
that
I remember one thing now. The important thing to remember is that the Portuguese and the Spanish are European. You know, and that's the thing that people have to realize. You know, they were the European countries. In fact, they were the oldest Catholic nations. Remember that between the period of the 1100s up through about 1300, Spain and Portugal were formed as nation states. And the main institution that helped them become nations were the Catholic Church. Remember, the Catholic Church was born out of the death and destruction of the Roman Empire. So the Catholic Church helped to set the table for the institution of slavery. And it was not just, you know, African slaves. Like I said, Europeans were slaves too. But certainly by the 14th century, 15th century, to be honest with you, which is the 1400s, Spain and Portugal in the Iberian Peninsula, that's where they're located. They had established a nation state, and they began to explore. And they're explorers, like Amerigo Vespucci, Christopher Columbus, and so many others, along with conquistadors, began to explore the new world. And they came into contact with North and South America. And that's why today, of the 13 countries that are in South America, 12 of them are Spanish, and the other is Portuguese, the largest country in South America is Brazil. Brazil is a Portuguese colony. That's where you have the largest concentration of African people.
So were they enslaved? Were they enslaved in Brazil?
Some of them were, but you got to remember, there's a very fascinating history, and I always taught it in my African American and my American history classes. You know, especially the period prior to the 20th century. The amazing thing about the Spanish and the Portuguese was that they both, you know, had slavery, but they also had black populations that were conquistadors. They were Catholic, and some of them were free men. Remember that the Spanish and the Portuguese, when they got over here, the Native Americans were already here on those islands, out in the Atlantic and in the Caribbean area. And the Native American populations were also, you know, on the main continent. The Aztec and the Maya, remember, they battled, especially the Aztec, battled the Spanish under Cortez and others, you know, for nearly 50 to 60 years before they were finally wiped out. But a lot of those peoples that lived in those islands in the Caribbean, they died off, and once they died off, the Spanish brought in African slaves to work on those sugar plantations, the coffee plantations, or whatever, and the native populations pretty much died out because they were trapped on those islands. The European explorers, starting with the Spanish and the Portuguese, decimated those populations of original people, indigenous people, in South America, and had ran some of the similar problems in North America. But one of the amazing things that I learned about the African presence in the southern part of the United States, what is now the modern-day state of Florida, was when I studied Herbert Aftecker's American Negro Slave Revolts. Back in the 1960s, as a junior at North Carolina Central, and studying history, and reading that book, and to my amazement, in 1526, in what is now the northern part of Florida, but it also the southern part of Georgia and South Carolina, there were blacks in those regions that got with the Indian populations and rebelled against the Spanish. So blacks as slaves or as indentured servants or just as free men and as explorers, all of them, those people are part of American history. And I'm talking, when I say American history, remember one thing, and I always taught this from this perspective. Everyone who lives in the Western Hemisphere is an American. It's only the arrogance of the people in the United States that we call ourselves the Americans. Now, we are Americans. If you live in Argentina, Paraguay, Peru,
it was called the Americas. Venezuela, the Americas.
We are Americans. All of us are. But like I said, our arrogance, which, and if you show me an arrogant person, I'll show you an ignorant one every time. And I always look from that perspective. Show me an arrogant person, and I'll show you an ignorant one every time.
And Professor Harvey, Professor Harvey, I hate to have to take a hiatus with you because there's so much to learn. 855-752-4842. The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced our airways once again. You can join us, 855-752-4842. If you have any questions or comment, now's the time. On the Earl Ingram Show.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin emergency officials are sharing flood preparation tips with residents ahead of Flood Safety Awareness Week. Governor Tony Evers declared next week is Flood Safety Awareness Week, hoping to remind residents to evaluate their properties and have a plan for unexpected flooding. Residents should stay informed of weather conditions, keep valuables out of their basements, and clean their gutters regularly to limit flood damage or avoid it entirely. They should also create an emergency plan ahead of time and consider purchasing flood insurance. A number of Democratic state lawmakers say they're working on legislation to stop federal authorities from arresting immigrants at places like churches, hospitals, and schools. The locations had previously been considered protected, but Trump administration officials now say they are not off limits for immigration operations. State Democrats are seeking to designate the locations as safe havens, saying members of the immigrant community should be able to attend school, religious services, or seek medical care without the fear of arrest. The University of Wisconsin-River Falls has announced a new interim chancellor beginning in March. According to a press release, John Chenoweth has been named as the interim chancellor effective March 1st. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman also said he expects Chenoweth to serve in the interim chancellor role for an extended period of time. In a statement, Chenoweth highlighted his past experience in the interim role and says he's excited to use that background to benefit the students and staff at UW-River Falls. The Osseo Rural Fire Department is asking for support from the community as they raise funds for new equipment. Officials say the fire department's self-contained breathing apparatuses need to be replaced, and they're looking to raise around $250,000 to purchase 16 new ones. The equipment is meant to protect firefighters from inhaling dangerous smoke or chemicals while responding to a fire. In addition to accepting donations, the department is planning a number of fundraising events in the coming weeks. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The third season of White Lotus has dropped on Max, and the HBO show has created some controversy thanks to nitpicky social media followers always looking for something to overanalyze. Every season has a new cast, location, and theme music. Season 2's theme music was so popular, it played in nightclubs across Europe. Season 3's theme music has not been well received. Great thing to stress over in this day and age. If you haven't seen White Lotus yet, give it a chance. Saturday Night Live kicks off a new 50 years in March. March hosts will include comedian Shane Gillis and Lady Gaga. Neither are strangers to the SNL stage. Gillis will host the show for the second time on March 1st. The musical act will be Tate McRae. Gaga will wear hosting and musical hats as she covers both roles on March 8th. Gaga has hosted the show before and performed as the musical guest 4 times previously. Wonder if they'll be invited to the 100th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. The coldest air of the week finally behind us. Still chilly today, mostly sunny with a high of 17. Wind chills as low as 20 below, especially early. Mostly clear tonight, a low near 5 below. Sunny skies on Friday with a high near 20. Currently, it's 8 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll be live from downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 51st annual American Birkebeiner. Yes, outside. Join us. It should be fun.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. The one and only Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, is on the line. And you know, Professor Harvey, I would have loved to have been in your class. You know, I think one of the things that people need to understand is you taught a lot of white students as well. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, yeah, all types of students. I mean, in lacrosse, it was amazing because I left North Carolina Central in 1978, and I was invited to come up as a visiting lecturer at UW Lacrosse, that's teaching the Minority Studies Institute. And in North Carolina Central, I went from teaching 99% black students in my classrooms to teaching, if you want, to lacrosse and teaching 99% white students. And in both cases, the classrooms were packed. You know, because the thing is, history has to be taught in such a way that it's relevant to the past, but it also has to be relevant to the present. History has to live in the minds of the students, and they have to see themselves in the history book. It's not just enough to talk about the history events and individuals in the past, because once you look at a book, it's already the past. That's why it's a book,
right?
You know, so I always taught my students that history has to come alive, and they have to be a part of it. They have to see themselves on that slave ship. They have to see themselves as colonists that came here for the first time. And they have to also learn that many of the original ancestors that came from Europe to the New World were fleeing and running away from something. Many of the religious folk had to flee their country, because especially if they were Protestant, because a lot of the, except for England, a lot of Western Europe was under the domination of the Catholic Church. And if you were not a Catholic, then you were listed as a heretic. So many of those individuals that were influenced by people like John Calvin and Martin Luther and others had to flee to come to the New World to have religious freedom. That's why religious freedom is one of the first items built into the first amendment to the Constitution, freedom of religion. It came from that concept that these people were listed as heretics and everything else, and they had to flee Europe to come into for a new world. And they got here, and they found a Native American population where they couldn't bother them too much. But they also realized that if they brought slaves, then they could have them to work for nothing, or to work for at least for their freedom. And that's where the indentured servitude came in.
So,
of the Europeans came over as indentured servants.
So, Professor Howard,
earlier ones that came over.
We've got a text message, and then we're going to go to the phone lines. Catholic Church, this is Courtney Mark. Catholic Church has a long history of opposing slavery, with condemnations dating back centuries before the modern abolition movement. Anti-Catholic bigots have tried this canard for centuries.
I understand something, but the Catholic Church, both the Portuguese and the Spanish, were dominated by the Catholic Church. And it was Pope Alexander VI and others who pretty much went ahead and sanctioned the institution of slavery. Remember, many of those Spanish exploring ships that came over to settle in the New World came with an army. Those were the conquistadors. And they came with popes, the person that, with religious individuals whose main job it was to convert the so-called heathens. They figured that these people were heathens. They were not Christians. They had to be converted. That's why you find all those churches being built on in these missions. And they got over here and realized that not only were the people dying off because of forced labor, but they were dying off because they were exposed to European diseases that just wiped them out. Remember in the 14th and the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries, Europe, from the Mediterranean region all the way up, you know, to the lands of Denmark, Belgium, and also the Dutch, they were heavily impacted. Of course, England as well as an island, they were heavily inundated with plagues. The Black Plagues wiped out almost a third of the European population during that time in the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries. So though those people had adjusted to it biologically, by the time they got to the New World, they were bringing a lot of diseases with them.
So,
also measles and other diseases.
So, Professor Harvey, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They largely decimated the Native American population. Think about it biologically. These people were surrounded by two major oceans, the Atlantic and the Pacific. There were people who lived in these regions, and they didn't have a lot of the diseases that they had in Europe, and for that matter, in Africa, because the Africans also brought some diseases over here.
So
the Europeans.
So, Professor Harvey, we got a lot of phone calls, people who want to have a conversation with you. Can we take a few calls?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, let's go to Vincent. Good morning to you, Vincent. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, Earl. Doing well, Earl.
Hey, man, it's good to hear your voice, man. Been a while.
Man,
been a while.
Yeah, you got to stop changing your phone number, man.
No, man. Hey, man, we've been here a while. But you've heard the great Professor Harvey in the past?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have for years. And he is a treasure. A treasure to our community. The fact is, I was going to say that even after Black History Month, he needs to be a staple on.
Yeah,
your show.
I will bring him back. I will definitely bring Professor Harvey back. No question. Go ahead.
Because the fact is that with this new administration, African American history is under assault. The fact is, when you talk about Google talking about they're not going to celebrate African-American history and other platforms like that, the fact is that companies are slowly but surely getting rid of DEI programs and programs that really helped African-Americans in this country, and the history being torn apart as far as black folks in this country. He's a treasure at this point.
Yeah,
in time.
He is.
So my point is to Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year to try to keep this history going? Because the fact is, it's definitely under assault. That's my question.
Hey, Vincent, thank you very much for the call, man. And call a little more. You got to listen in order, you know, more. But thank you. Professor Harvey? Professor Harvey?
Yeah.
Well,
look, Earl, important, keep in mind one thing, and I, Laverne and I, we've been monitoring, you know, a lot of these situations that have come out. Now, she stays more actively involved with it than I do these days. But remember one thing, Earl, African-American history is not going anywhere. They can do all of the destruction of woke programs and DEI programs all they want. It is not going anywhere. The history is there. And not only that, but there are many students. The most exciting students that I taught were white students. They were learning this history for the first time. So, you know, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And there are enough decent people out there who are going to want to know the true history. I don't not, you know, the programs like the special program right now that's dealing with the 1619 project. I think it's a laudable project. But when you go back and start digging into history, you find out that long before the Mayflower, Lerone Bennett got it right, long before the Mayflower, blacks were already here.
Right.
And if you study that carefully, it's going to take you back even further, because then you started getting into Egyptology. I saw an interesting program the other night on television, and they were talking about the early man. And this one scholar, one white scholar from South Africa, was saying that the original Egyptians were descendants of the Nubian people that were in the southern, in the northern part of the Sudan, and living parts of, some of them were living in the southern parts of Egypt. The ones you see on television right now talking about the pyramids, they're not the original Egyptians. The ones who built the pyramids, and he said one of the giveaways was studying the mummy and finding the high concentration and content of melanin. Melanin, the more melanin you have in your body, the darker your skin color is. So he said that that in itself was a giveaway. And even that form of history has been robbed, because Egypt, in all my years of studying history, Egypt is the only civilization that you know of consistently where their history has been robbed, and they try to take Egypt out of Africa, because they don't want you to know that the most storied civilization in world history is an African civilization. It's Egypt. And you know, some scholars, some black scholars have said that Egypt is the daughter of Ethiopia. And if you talk to a lot of Ethiopians and friends that I've had that are Ethiopians, they will tell you the magnificent history that Ethiopia, influence that Ethiopia had over ancient
Egypt. So, Professor Harvey,
I mean, there are some fascinating stories there.
So, Professor Harvey, I'm going to take Vincent up on what he said and certainly bring you back many more times as we used to. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Good morning. I agree with Vincent. The words that come to my mind are American treasure. And that's what Dr. Harvey is, Professor Harvey is, every time he's on your show. What I'd like to do also is recommend the civic media to actually have it where Professor Harvey teaches a class on civic media on the weekend or something about this stuff.
That's not a bad idea, Tom. You know, we can talk to Professor Harvey, and you know, Professor Harvey, as you stated and as Vincent stated, is a treasure. And Professor Harvey's recall in history is he doesn't even have to give it a thought. It's in his spirit. It's in his it's in the essence of who he is, and he is exactly it. It's a great idea, Tom. We'll certainly explore it. Guys, hang on the phone lines. Professor Harvey, man, I deserve a beating for it being so long before I got you back on. 855-752-4842. The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us once again on the Earl Ingram Show.
No chance to increase finance. Bills pile up, sky high. Send that boy off to die. Oh, make me wanna holler the way they do my life. Yeah, make me wanna holler the way they do my life.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here.
The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up, with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
All right, welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I just want to say to you in the listening audience that Professor Harvey is not just this eloquent and thorough on black history, American history, military history, all of it. His recall is unmatched. And so, yeah, I think it's a great idea that we do what we can to get his voice throughout civic media. We'll have a conversation. Hey, Brendan, what's going on? You have a question or comment for Professor Harvey?
No, I just wanted to say what a fresh breeze it is to hear a man speak so eloquently and so knowledgeably about the history of our country, be it black, white, or otherwise. And that was it. I mean, I learned a lot, and it's good to turn on the program and learn and be able to open your ears and listen and hear the truth.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Professor Harvey, you and I have done this for many, many years, and I always, when you're on, am amazed at the depth of your knowledge and your recall. You know, you challenge, you know, and you challenge those other historians, Professor Harvey, who sometimes maybe they just omit things intentionally, or is it that they don't know?
Well, I think it's, you know, history is a broad field and covers many, many different facets. And if you show me two historians in the same room, they're both going to look at it from a different perspective. There's just so many different ways to see it. You know, I always taught, you know, history that was inclusive, and that's sort of amazing when you look at that DEI crap that they put out there to divide folks. History has to be inclusive, and you have to let people understand what's going on, because I guarantee you, if you take a person that was a Trumpster from Arkansas and you get one from New York, they see gonna see some things differently, because that many of those Southerners still fighting the Civil War. And as far as they're concerned, the Yankees be damned forever. You know, so if you were from the North, you were a damn Yankee, but they're gonna see history a certain way. I mean, I'm a Southerner too, but I see history differently than maybe a white person would, because, you know, I saw the Civil War as a chance to enslave African Americans, whereas he saw it as a way to preserve his culture. And what we're finding out is that there are ways that people can preserve their culture, but that culture can only be preserved when it's based on honesty and accuracy of what the facts are, and to deal with it from there. And if you don't, then you're going to be missing an important part of history. You can't be afraid to learn new things and to learn it from people that are different. So all these anti-woke and anti, you know, DEI movements that were put out there to plant the seed to get a couple of million people to vote for Donald Trump, they're going to fail, because the world knows now. And thank God for all those black and white scholars, you know, like the Carter G. Woodsons and the John Hope Franklins, but also the C. Van Woodwards and other white historians who taught us another way of looking at American history, and to see, and Herbert Aptheker as well, taught us how to see American history through a different lens, so that it could just make us a better people. History is an excellent teaching tool if we allow it to be taught to be inclusive. You can't exclude people or demean people and try to add them to history. Because remember that when we start talking about slavery, the perception that we have in the United States is that, it, you know, if you're going to have a final blame game, we blame the English. When in fact, it was not the English that started it. This was something that was started by the Spanish and the French. I mean, the Spanish and the Portuguese. And the church had a major role to play in it. Yes, the Catholic Church, once it woke up to it, by the end of this, say, the 16th to 17th century, the Spanish were pretty much moved out of the game. Then they stepped in and stopped it. Remember, Queen Elizabeth, when she was Queen of England in the latter part of the 16th century, Queen Elizabeth at first was opposed to it. But once her sea dogs got out there with Walter Raleigh and the rest of them and started raiding, and Francis Drake, and they started raiding those Spanish ships coming back to the old world, laden with gold, partly from slavery and from the slave trade, they changed it.
Hey, Professor Harvey, we got to leave it there, but I got to read this message to you. I've always loved him on your show for the past 10 years, but I have to tell you, today just made me realize that he needs to have his own show and teach us all history. Unbelievable, Professor Harvey. You don't have to hang up your history books. Maybe we can open up a window for you through the airwaves to continue to teach. It's what you are born to do. And we're gonna look into all those things. Professor Harvey, thank you very much. I will talk to you later on today. All right, thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. Man, we couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you, Cardi. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Madner. Madner on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Madner on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, our regular Week in Review panels, including Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, and Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school. cool.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Democrats in the Senate putting likely futile warnings out as lawmakers get set to vote on confirmation for President Trump's pick for FBI Director Kash Patel. Illinois' Dick Durbin.
My Senate Republican colleagues are willfully ignoring myriad red flags about Mr. Patel, especially his recurring instinct to threaten retribution against his perceived enemies.
Brazil's president firing an accusation at Mr. Trump.
Agora, do jeito que ele tá fazendo,
Lula da Silva says the president wants to become, quote, an emperor of the world. Archaeologists in Egypt say they found the tomb of King Tut II. The team headed by Piers Litherland.
Part of the ceiling was still intact, a blue-painted ceiling with yellow stars on it. And blue-painted ceilings with yellow stars are only found in king's tombs.
King Tut's body was discovered more than 2 centuries ago after it was moved because of flooding. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.